Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. This is your host, Marvin B., coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a fantastic week. I am so happy. And part of the reason I'm happy is because I am joined once again for another episode by my good friend, David Sims, with HIPAA for MSPs. David, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you? Well, you've already told me, so never mind.
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. And if I could be doing Vantastic and Comcastic on the same day, that would be the trifecta.
There you go.
That didn't happen. All right, so we are back with part two of Talking Hipper with Dave.
As if you didn't get enough the first time.
Yes. Well, Dave, the reason that, you know, we kind of split this up is, I don't know if you've ever gone back and listened to any of the old Podnuts Pro shows. We kind of linger. Mm-hmm. The shows can get a little long. So these shows were too good to let them get to a rambling stage. So I wanted to break them up and give people something to listen to and, you know, not drone them out at the 90-minute mark like we usually do. And because by that time, people are usually waiting around for the Benjamin Franklin quote, and that's about it. So, so last week we covered a good bit of territory. We, you know, talked about everything from why should I care about HIPAA to the ominous rule, the omnibus rule of 2013, and what that meant. Mm-hmm. So, not going to do too big of a recap there, but want to kind of go back. And one of the things that I liked about being able to have you on is to talk about your website, HIPAA for MSPs. I mentioned that I subscribed to the site, mm-hmm. didn't know it was yours. And part of that was because I didn't use the site really as much as I should have, obviously. And I'll be honest, another disclaimer here, I almost canceled because I realized I was spending money every month for something I wasn't using. And normally, when I get to a point where I realize I'm not using this, you know, cancel it. But for somehow, for whatever reason, I went looking. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, David Sims? He's going to be at the UN convention. I can't cancel now. He'll call me out.
So you wait 3 or 4 months down the road. That's... So,
yeah, by January, we're out of here. But let's talk about the website, and let's first talk about what the site is, what it does, and why people like me should be using it.
Okay. So in a nutshell, it provides the educational training component around what IT needs to know about HIPAA. And so part of it is this is what you need to know. And then the other part of it is, okay, let's convert that into what your clients need to be doing and how you can then profit from that. So how can you create what, you know, we've already labeled a compliance as a service offering. And, you know, that's a buzzword. And funny thing about it was I was actually using it before it became a buzzword. So I don't know if somebody stole it from me or not, but I don't have any rights to it. So,
but we can look it up. George Foreman will help us out.
So, you know, creating that compliance as a service offering really is what you're looking at to do. I mean, you want to know about HIPAA and make sure you're doing everything right. But, you know, the other side of the coin is we really want to make more money. We want to sell more services, or we want to be able to charge higher prices, whatever the case might be.
Right.
That's really why we want to get into it. Or you might be like I was, and the biggest reason I got into it was because I had some medical clients at the time, and I couldn't afford to get rid of them. They made up a large majority of my income, and so it was either do HIPAA or say bye to all this money that was coming in, and I couldn't do that. So kind of had to get on the train with the HIPAA stuff.
Right. So I know that one of my failings was what we talked about last show is where a lot of techs are looking for the checklist. Mm-hmm. You know, give me the forms I need and let me just throw my logo on it and take it over to my customer. And that's kind of what I did. I went to the resources tab and the downloads. and that was the first place I went trying to, what can I download? What can I use right away? Mm-hmm. But I realized that, you know what, I probably shouldn't start there. That there's a whole gamut of information there. And you had mentioned to me getting involved in the community. Mm-hmm. In terms of somebody that hasn't been to the website or is looking for resources, what is it that the community can offer people on your website?
Well, that's kind of a catch 22 I've come to find out. And the community, of course, is all the other members that are there. And this is kind of a time for me being candid with you and your audience, is that I am finding that a lot of the members don't want to communicate within the forums because I guess they're afraid that they're going to ask a dumb question. or they've got a very, very specific issue they want to talk about, and they don't really want people to know that either they're not doing something properly or they have a client that's not doing something properly. So there's a lot of things where people just don't want to talk about things that, you know, could be very personal, business related things. So one of the things that we have an issue with in the site is getting that participation in the forums. But we do have a ton of participation with people who are asking questions of myself or my team, and we're there to give the answers to that. So we've actually had some people say the reason why they keep their subscription going is because they feel like they have us on retainer. You know, anytime they have a question, they know they can go to the site, they can post their question, they'll get an answer about it, and or they can attend one of the monthly we call them office hours calls. So what? we get on. So you've never been in one.
I did not see that.
We're having one tomorrow, as a matter of fact, at 2:00. So you get into office hour calls, and basically it's a Zoom video meeting, and we get in there and answer any questions you have, talk about any things you got going on internally or externally. And there are other members that are there, and sometimes they have conversations between, you know, it's pretty much just an open forum for everybody that's there to discuss what's going on and what you need help with. And okay. So that's a big value to people.
So all the stuff I'm trying to do on the air with you, asking questions, I really should be doing during
that
office hour.
You could be doing that in the office. Of course, everybody wouldn't be able to listen to that, but so you had that at your disposal all this time.
Well, I'm looking here because I pulled up the site because obviously, I mean, because here's the thing. I did go to the downloads. I skipped everything that had a price on it. And I looked for, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, I looked at the stuff like the disaster recovery preparation guide. I looked at the sample, which I'm sure that's probably your number one downloaded thing, is that sample business agreement where everybody wants to look.
Yeah. A lot of people download that, and it's funny that you mentioned that you went to the downloads, because a lot of times I can see when somebody signs up, I can see where they're going on the site, and it's funny that, you know, that is one of the first places they hit. They don't really go to the start here page. They jump right into the resources and try to figure out what's there they can get. But, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where, yes, the resources are here, but if you don't understand everything around the resources, they're not going to be very much value to you.
Right. So I'm going to have to dig in a little bit more, and I will have to see if I'm available for that 2:00 call tomorrow. So a thing that I did notice, how to win a $100 Amazon gift card. What is that?
Where's that at? I got to take that off there.
Oh, that's an old episode. Top 10 HIPAA lessons. Oh, that was back in April. Darn it. And I was a member then. I could have gotten $100.
You could have.
So there was a couple of things in here, a couple of articles I saw on how HIPAA could have prevented one of the ransomwares that I thought was interesting, because that's something that we don't associate with HIPAA, is all of the benefits that come out of it. And I think from what I can tell on your site is you are able to show people, okay, you know, HIPAA is not just about compliance. You mentioned that on the last show. Mm-hmm. HIPAA is about protection. And in a sense, HIPAA can help with protection against a lot of other things outside of HIPAA, one of them being the ransomware, which encrypts the data and makes it unusable and makes hospitals pay money. And I've seen stories where hospitals have paid money to get their records back, which hopefully I'll never have to do that. But I mean, there's a lot of information on your site.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where people get in there and a lot of time the word I hear is overwhelm, and it's not necessarily the fact that they're overwhelmed by the amount of information, is they're overwhelmed by the what that has to be done, you know, and that's good in a way, because if somebody can join the site and figure out whether or not they actually want to go down that path, to me, that's part of me doing my job. If they can make an educated decision that they want to stay away from HIPAA, then that's great. But if they want to go move toward HIPAA, then I want to make sure they have all the correct information so they can do it properly. It's like anything else in our space. If we make sure everybody's doing the same thing, you're doing, you know, everything up to a higher standard, then we can all make more money. We can charge our prices. We can make sure things are done properly.
Right.
And so that's part of the mission of it as well.
All right. So the site I mentioned will be in the show note, and HIPAA4MSPs.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me ask you the elephant in the room question.
Okay.
HIPAA for MSPs.
Right.
So I do manage services, but I don't call myself an MSP. Why did you pick the name for MSPs?
Okay, so here's the short of it, is that when you start looking at what needs to be provided to the client, you start looking and seeing words like you need to be able to prevent, detect, contain, and correct security violations. You need to be able to have a way that you can create, maintain, and retrieve exact copies of data. You need to be able to make sure that you have ways that you have documented, you know, destruction of data and media controls and password management. So anyway, what I'm getting at is that when you start talking about a lot of the things that has to happen around HIPAA, they're managed services. I mean, if you're going to be able to detect something has happened and then correct that, then you can't do that if you're just providing one-off IT services.
Okay.
So that's the reason.
So your break-fix organization really isn't going to be able to do HIPAA.
I mean, you can do it, but you're still going to have to incorporate some type of remote monitoring and management tool so that you can give them that. And another part of it they have to have is they have to have that ongoing documentation. So the monthly reports, like we talked about last episode, you know, the executive summaries, all those things go into their documentation showing that they're doing all of this things that they said that you were going to be doing. Remember that file folder they had? The IT stuff you were supposed to be doing, they didn't tell you about. So you have to be able to print all that out and give it to them and show that there's an ongoing process of security happening within their environment.
All right. So it sounds to me that it would be a great way to beef up your managed services for HIPAA, because you can, you know, as an extension, do a lot of these HIPAA things that you're already doing. You can validate that you're patching the equipment. If you've got the right RMM tool, you can say that you're managing their inventory.
Mm-hmm.
You can have your managed antivirus. And anytime that there's an infection, you've got a record of it. And you hopefully will have a record that it was rectified and cleaned or quarantined or whatever it is. So I'm sorry, I just had a question pop into my head because I have an idiot client that we wanted to do mobile device management. I probably should save this for the office call tomorrow, but you're here now. So one of the things I've noticed is they don't keep track of their devices very well. And I wasn't able to properly sell them on a better mobile device management platform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got an inventory of them. I know who they're assigned to. I don't have it to where I can track the device, and I actually have it to where if the device hasn't checked in, I'm stuck. And I've got devices that now have not shown up in my dashboard for 60 days, 90 days, going to the client and saying, where's this iPad? I don't know.
Don't you know? You're the IT guy.
And I mean, that sounds like some of the things where, yeah, if you're doing one-offs, you can't manage that. I mean, at some point, you know, I've told this customer, well, we can't do this anymore. I've got to know where all these things are. And if that means I got to show up weekly and find devices that, you know, aren't popping up, we got to do that. So thus managed services in a sense.
Right. And, you know, you don't have to be all in on managed services necessarily, but you do need to be all in on HIPAA. If you're going to go that route, you kind of need to be all in or all out. If you want to do break fix for everybody else and do, I don't care if you say managed services or not, but if you want to do those things that are managed, you know, you're going to have to do those in the environment around HIPAA. You know, if you have a law firm, I've heard people say, I'm not going to take on any medical clients. Well, that's great, but that doesn't mean you're going to avoid HIPAA. You know, you're still going to end up running into it. And I have several clients that aren't healthcare, but still do HIPAA. So it's going to be harder and harder to get away from.
And I've told you stories of I've got my law firms that work with insurance firms because they're insurance defense attorneys. They are now getting those vendor assessments
mm-hmm.
that I have to help them fill out. And a lot of these things, you know, they don't come out and say HIPAA, but they're HIPAA to me because mm-hmm. it's talking about insured information, which is in a sense patient information or personal identifiable information.
Right.
So at some point, this is all going to meld together in my mind.
Yeah. The thing about it is we're starting to see, even I think last year, even the financial industry was starting to talk about having some HIPAA-like legislation so that it could be more like HIPAA. You know, when you look at HIPAA, and this is kind of one of the things that catch IT people and kind of off guard, is that they look at all the things that has to be done around HIPAA, specifically the technical safeguards and the security rule, and they go, oh, this is easy. We just do some encryption, or we just put in passwords, or we just do backups, and, you know, we just do the normal IT stuff, and that's all we have to do. It's a lot more than that. And that's kind of the, unfortunately, that's kind of one of the things that gets tossed around a lot in the forums, that, you know, all you have to do is encryption, you're fine. You know, it's just not the case. And you know, we talked last time too about the level of policies and procedures and documentation that you have to have. I mean, I could go over the policies you have to have in the show, but the list is long.
Well, yeah, because you can't just, encryption is not it. You've got to talk about, I mean, the things that I worked on with my customer that took a lot of handholding was, you know, workstation use,
mm-hmm.
you know, just in, you know, protecting the workstation if somebody walks away or as you're typing a document, and why does the screen have to lock after, you know, X number of minutes?
Mm-hmm.
That has nothing to do with encryption. That's just regular daily use.
Yeah, it's just good business practice. And, you know, the thing too that we run into with IT people is a lot of times when you start looking at, like, for instance, workstation use, that is a requirement. It specifically says you have to implement policies and procedures that specify the proper functions to be performed, the manner in which those functions are to be performed, and then the physical attributes of the surroundings of a specific workstation, a class of workstation, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So, but as IT people, often we overlook that in our own environment because we're IT people, right? We're not going to
get infected.
Right. We're not going to have a policy and procedure about how we're going to use our own computer, right?
Of course not. I know how to use a computer.
Right. So, but unfortunately, that's part of it. You have to do that work. The good thing about it, though, Marvin, is that if you do the work and you understand what you're doing, you're not just buying the templates and filling out, you know, taking somebody's name off, putting yours on. But if you do the work, you understand what you're doing, you have a grasp on it, then you can turn around and take that same information and apply it to what your clients are having to do because they have to do the same work.
Right. Well, I can tell you that has helped me immensely because a lot of the things that I'm asking my customers to do are things that I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the same firewall, you know, not the exact model, but I use the same business class firewall for my business as I ask them to use for theirs.
That new Linksys?
Yeah, Best Buy, you know, WRTG 54, whatever it was.
Yeah, I still have one somewhere.
You know, the wireless access point where you just push the button to connect everybody. So. But yeah, I asked them, you know, I use the same firewall. I use the backup that I try to sell everybody. And, you know, I'm sure everybody knows which one I'm talking about, but my backup is both a local on-site appliance
mm-hmm.
as well as a off-site, you know, replication. So it's an all-in-one that I use. My Wi-Fi, I just mentioned wireless. I mean, I use a wireless product that I can segment the network mm-hmm. so that guests can come in and not be on the same network as the office staff. So being able to say, I do that for my business, I'm just going to extend it to yours, and this will get you closer to complying with HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say you're HIPAA compliant because I'm not a certified HIPAA professional.
Well, you know, one thing too that I like to tell clients is they have to understand they can be HIPAA compliant in the morning and then not in the afternoon. That's how volatile it is and how much it can change. And the way that can happen is it could be just something, for example, let's say they had everything, you know, right, all their ducks are in a row, And then all of a sudden, somebody at the front desk decides to send out a mass email. And instead of putting everybody in the blind carbon copy section, she puts them everybody in the two section, because I've seen it happen. Now, all of a sudden, every single patient has everybody's email address. Well, the email address is part of the 18 HIPAA identifiers of your patient information.
There's 18 now?
Yeah.
I thought it was 12. What was... I got to read that site more.
Yep. We got to get you in there. So, you know, now all of a sudden you've got a security incident you're dealing with, which is technically a breach that you've got to look at, and you got to determine, you know, what is the probability of compromise that you just had in your business, and how are you going to handle that? And all that has to be documented beforehand. You know, what is your policy and procedure about how you're going to handle a breach and what you're going to do? It's not something you can do on the fly.
Right. And it's funny you mentioned about being compliant in the morning, but not in the afternoon, because one of the things that I've discussed with, I'm not going to say the same idiot client, but
but it may be.
it could be where, you know, some of the things that don't even have to do with IT, mm-hmm. you know, but leaving patient files out in the open. I have 24-hour access to this client's office. So that way, if something goes wrong with the server or the backup or whatever, I can go in and take care of it. But I know that I can walk around that office pretty much at any time and pick up a client file. And I know the cleaning people can do that. Mm-hmm. And I know that not everybody locks their workstation when they leave. Or there are USB drives with files sitting out on top of the counter. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the types of things where with this particular customer, I'm trying to say, look, we need to establish policies and procedures even for this type of stuff. And they, you know, they don't get it because, you know, securing a flash drive is hard, you know, and, you know, we took this HIPAA Made Easy course and, you know, this is a lot harder than that. So it is interesting.
Yeah. Well, some organizations don't even allow the use of flash drives any longer. So, and there again, we talked last time too about HIPAA being kind of vague and the reason why it's good that it is in some cases. And how somebody decides to implement certain things is, you know, there again, it's a business decision. I have a client who just recently decided that they were going to get a completely separate internet service for the guest Wi-Fi. So they have their internal Wi-Fi on one cable modem and the guest Wi-Fi is on a completely separate cable modem, separate router and everything. Hmm. So there's no way possible for the two to touch because they want to make absolutely sure. There's no way. They're not going to even trust segmentation. Wow. They want to make sure there's no way for those things to cross over.
That's kudos to them. It took me a while to get my customer to let me get them a router that would even segment.
Yeah.
So,
you'll hear, well, what we got works. Why do we need something different?
Right. Yeah. So, we talked a little bit about some of this stuff. Now, a thing that kind of caught my attention is, another, and this is really another idiot client who basically got to this, I don't know if they went to a seminar or if their moo-moo consultant told them about, but they came back with the HIPAA High Tech manual, and HIPAA High Tech is all we have to worry about. And when I looked at it, I'm like, okay, well, this is just the technical portion of HIPAA. You still got all of the other HIPAA stuff to do, but in their mind, HIPAA High Tech was the bomb. That was it. As long as we do this, we're fine. Is HIPAA High Tech a separate thing? Is it like a whole other cottage industry, or is it just a name that they use to focus on a particular portion?
High Tech is something that came along as part of the stimulus package that happened, I think, back in, oh my goodness, I think it's 2011.
That was an Obama deal, right?
I believe so. And basically what it did is it gave financial incentives for those companies that would demonstrate what was called meaningful use of electronic health records up until 2015. So basically it was saying that, you know, if you would take and digitize your records and move to electronic health records, we're going to give you some financial incentives to do that. So,
yes, that's right. Cause they, my doctor wanted reimbursement.
Right. So, and a lot of this was quite a bit of money. that was doled out. And unfortunately, when you start looking at some of the things that meaningful use required, it was the same things that HIPAA was saying. So it was, you know, do your risk analysis, do your risk management plan. You know, it went on down the line. And there's tons of people that attested that they did meaningful use that hadn't even done, you know, step one, and which is the same thing they do with HIPAA. They skip step one, which is you have to do a risk analysis. But HITECH came along and they did that, but it also set up things for penalties. So if you didn't do it by 2015, then you could have penalties levied against you if you did not take on an electronic health record format. And there's some other things about that that we wouldn't have time to dive into, but it also set up some of the monetary caps for HIPAA. So you probably heard, like, you could be fined up to $1.5 million.
Yep.
That's where they get, you know, that from HITECH, which a lot of people don't know this. And I've even seen people that are quote unquote, you know, gurus of HIPAA. A lot of people don't realize that that $1.5 million actually went up last year.
Oh,
yeah. They had a raise.
So, but it was 1.5 per offense, right?
It can go up to $1.5 million per offense. Yes.
Okay.
So if you had, let's just say for an example, you weren't doing your passwords correctly. you know, maybe you had the same username and password on every workstation for every person. So every single day that was the case. So let's say it was a year. So that means you had 365 violations, for that.
What?
Yeah.
For the one password.
Right. Cause every single day is another violation.
Oh.
And they could charge you an amount of money up to $1.5 million. So that's how some of those fines got so high, was because of the length of time things went unfixed.
Well, that's, they should lead with that in the seminars. I mean, that my doctor will, Let me give you an example of this doctor. So let's just say that he was so cheap when it came to buying computer stuff that he would rather go searching on Amazon or eBay to find a cheaper battery backup than the one that I was selling him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was willing to spend $12,000 for a vanity phone number. But then he did not want to pay any more to become HIPAA compliant. He wanted me to get him to, you know, a documentation or a letter or something saying he was HIPAA compliant so he can get the reimbursement, but he didn't want to spend the money. And I'm like, well, how are you going to get reimbursed if you don't spend the money? Mm-hmm. But I didn't have this information of saying, well, you could be fined $1.5 million per day. Or
yeah.
It's not per day, right? I mean, the 1.5 yeah. wouldn't be per day.
No, it was capped out. But, you know, you got some things, like, for instance, where you don't want to be is, and this is something else HITECH set up, was it gave categories of the level in which you weren't doing HIPAA. So, you know, it's everything from you're doing it, but, you know, you just missed a few things, all the way right. down to willful neglect. And willful neglect is where you don't want to be. That's basically means, you know, you're just not doing anything right. You know, you used to be able to have what was called the affirmative defense, which you could say, well, I just didn't know. Didn't right. know I had to do that. Well, that's not working anymore. It's been around too long. Everybody knows that they should be doing HIPAA. Even if you don't know what you should be doing, you know that you should be doing HIPAA.
There is no more ignorance of the law.
There is no more. So the willful neglect, though, here's the thing about it, is that if you are found in willful neglect, you are, the OCR investigator is required to fine you a minimum of $50,000.
Minimum?
A minimum. They can't go any lower than that. And it can be up to $50,000 per occurrence. So, you know, if you had 10 days in which you were in violation and you were in willful neglect during that 10 days, then, you know, do the math.
You do the math. I'll do the Alfredo.
And that's what you see out there, is you see people that are just saying, I'm just not going to do HIPAA. On the podcast, we often call that the people who say HIPAA schmippa. They're just not going to do it. And, you know, if that's their business decision that they're not going to do that, then if I'm going to do any work for them, and I'm probably not, but if I am, I'm going to document that. I'm going to document every single thing that they decide to do or not do, and anything that I can get that's going to make sure I cover myself. But if I had somebody that was that against doing anything properly, I don't want to take them as a client anyway. It's just way too much liability.
Those are your Vegas doctors. They want to roll the dice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, used to, it was one of those things where, well, if you don't want to do it, then that's fine. You're not hurting me. But, you know, now it's getting where, even though their HIPAA is their problem, I still don't want to be involved in that, because it could, at minimum, spill over into an investigation into what I'm doing. And even if I've got all my I's dotted and T's crossed, I don't have time to go through an audit.
Right.
You know, and have to deal with all that. I just don't want to. Don't want to deal with it.
I don't either. And I can't imagine, because we've mentioned this. It seems to be coming down the road where we are going to be held responsible somehow in that process, even though the final responsibility is the covered entity. Mm-hmm. The fact that the omnibus rule has extended business associate so broad that, you know, if you touch their information, you need to be a part of the signed business associate agreement, and you need to be taking steps to protect the data.
Yeah. Well, here's the catch 22. Let's imagine that you have a client and you sign a business associate agreement, and part of that BAA says that you will follow HIPAA and you'll do everything you can to go by the guidelines set forth in the HIPAA legislation. And then let's imagine that client tells you that they're not going to, just for example, they're not going to use different policies or different passwords and usernames for everybody.
We're not going to change, because I don't want to change my password. And
right. I'm kind of throwing a hypothetical in here. This has not happened, but just imagine. So they tell you they're not going to do it, and it's their business, right? So they can decide whether to do that or not. However, you have a binding document that says you're going to follow HIPAA. And if you following HIPAA means that, you have to set forth those types of safeguards for your client, then where does that really leave you? And, you know, it's a question that I don't have an answer for, because it's not happened yet.
Right.
But it, you know, those are the things that IT people are sitting back going, wow, I mean, you know, am I going to be liable? Am I not going to be liable? If they tell me not to do something, it's their business, and that's their business decision. But I've signed a document saying that I'll follow HIPAA. You know, where would they draw the line? And I think my answer right now would be, if that's their business decision that they're not going to do that, then there's not a lot you can do about that. Right. I don't think that OCR would fine you for that, but you have to make sure that you're also doing those things in your own environment. You know, whether you're a home office or you have an office somewhere else, making sure you follow HIPAA just like you said you would. What are you doing to protect that data? And if the client decides they're not going to do it, then the liability most likely is just going to completely fall on them. But we haven't seen some of these things happen yet to where, you know, we get full clarification about, you know, how is that going to look?
Right. So that leads me to a question that I probably should have asked in the last show when we really started talking about breaches. And, you know, we talked about the omnibus rule, you know, extending, you know, what is a breach. Mm-hmm. And the question is, who's responsible for reporting the breach, in a sense where, you know, we're in that chain now as an IT professional, managed service provider. If I know that an iPad is missing, mm-hmm. and an iPad might have patient data on it, am I responsible to report that just to the covered entity? Or am I responsible for reporting that in another fashion? Or am I responsible at all of reporting it?
You are responsible for reporting it to the covered entity, and that's part of that business associate agreement we keep talking about. Mm-hmm. So you do have to notify them within the time frame that's on that document, and then they in turn have to notify OCR or the patients or both, and that's going to be dependent on, you know, how many patient records could possibly have been missing. That's where you're going to get into possibly having to do some type of forensics or get forensics people involved. You know, it can get hairy. And that's another thing that, you know, you bring that up. You really need to have somebody who can do some very, very detailed forensics work that, you know, that you have on speed dial. Because if something happens, and here's for example, we talked about this at the unconvention. So I'll bring up the exact slide because I actually have it pulled up here. One of the scenarios I gave was this. Imagine that you have a medical office client that calls and tells you that all of their computers have a message on the screen that tells them that their files are encrypted and they have to pay $300 in Bitcoins to unlock their files. What do you do? So,
what do you do?
So what most IT people are going to say is, I'm probably just going to nuke and pave the thing, right?
Right.
Get it back up and going. I'm going to restore from a backup. You know, if they're using one of your fancy dancy data backups, whatever the case might be, that's typically what we're going to do as IT people. Well, here's the problem with that is that HIPAA says if that happens, you can't just nuke and pave the system. They have to do a forensics analysis of that drive to find out what the probability of compromise was to that data. And you can't do that if you just wipe everything out or restore it from a backup. You've destroyed all the evidence of what happened. So that means now if you have a client that is bound by HIPAA and you have a ransomware type attack, you can't just go in there and just nuke and pave the machine and get them back up and running. Now you've got to look at, okay, now I'm going to have to call some forensics people in and we're going to have to look at that machine. And, you know, what am I going to do to replace that machine or get that data off there, do an exact copy of that data so I can then deal with that machine. And then the information has to be looked at and we have to be able to prove, we have to document and prove what's called a low probability of compromise to that patient information. So it's going to be a long process and all that has to happen all because of a ransomware attack. And you can't, so that goes back to what we talked about earlier is that IT people, MSPs, they need to understand HIPAA and understand what is required of HIPAA. And that's part of what we teach at HIPAAForMSPs.com so that when you go in and you have a situation like this, you know what you need to do.
So you referenced the slide deck that you had at the unconvention, and I'll just bring that up now. That is a wonderful little mini conference, if you will, about understanding HIPAA. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, first of all, is that going to be available at some point, either on your website or anywhere that people can see, or is it just available to us special ones from the unconvention?
You're special. I what I've wanted to do is actually do probably a recorded webinar on this and then put it in the site for everybody to have along with the downloads and everything. But, you know, the title level was Duct Tape HIPAA, which, you know, kind of inspired at wee hours of the morning one morning when I was looking at some, I can't remember what it was, but somebody sent me a picture of something where they had quote unquote fixed something at their house and it was duct taped. And I was like, man, I'm glad I don't run my IT company like that. And that kind of spurred me on to think, you know what? That's actually how some people, you know, do HIPAA. They just duct tape it together. They don't actually try to do it properly. And so, you know, you've heard of probably duct tape marketing, which is, you know, a positive connotation about doing marketing and, you know, kind of on the cheap. Whereas duct tape HIPAA is a negative connotation. So I kind of gave it my own definition, being that, you know, that's one's attempt to address federal regulatory responsibilities by applying quote unquote quick and easy methods or solutions with the incorrect assumption that you're actually fixing the problem. So, you know, you're not fixing anything. And, you know, you look at the slide deck's funny because I actually have pictures where people fixed, you know, they have a car taped all up with duct tape, you know, where they try to cover up a dent or, you know, fix a flat with duct tape or, you know, duct tape boxes to the top of a car. And, you know, there's just all this. I mean, trust me, I'm a duct tape fan. You give me duct tape and some Velcro and I could probably do a lot of stuff with it. But that's not how you want to run your business. You don't want to do it that way.
Absolutely. And I did want to mention the one thing that I liked on that. And again, I was not able to attend your session, but I like that there is it's not a checklist, but it's a HIPAA quick reference for IT where, you know, it lists each section and which rule applies to that section. For instance, you know, the password management where it mentions, you know, implement procedures for creating, changing, and safeguarding passwords. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, the safeguarding is always the hardest part of that because, you know, users talk and tell each other their passwords. But but then it talks about stuff like disposal, which we've talked about, you know, the whole idea of, you know, having a process in place where you can document your disposal of a machine. Right. And I always love trying to explain to customers that, you know, that copy machine that they just came and picked up, did we did we make sure that that hard drive in there was wiped?
Mm-hmm.
And they're always like, what do you mean a hard drive? In a
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem. So, but yeah, the quick reference guide actually kind of was born out of a client asking me one day, something to the effect of, you know, you say you're doing things for us that is related to HIPAA. What exactly is that? And, you know, it was kind of hard for me to answer right on the spot. And I knew there's a lot of stuff, but I was like, you know what? I really need to have a guide or a reference sheet where I can say, look, these are all the things you have to do. And these are all the things that we're doing for you. And here's the actual, you know, part of the HIPAA legislation, the actual code. If you want to look it up, that tells you, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. But, I'll tell you what I will do for you, Marvin. I'll kind of put you on the spot here, but if you want to, I will give that quick reference guide away to your listeners. You come up with whatever you want to do to make that be a giveaway of some sort or download, and I'll make that happen.
Okay. So I got to come up with a, does it have to be like a contest or?
It's completely up to you. You do whatever you want to with it, but I'll give that to anybody who jumps through whatever hoops you put out there, whether it's an opt-in or a giveaway of some sort.
I will come up with something and have that announced on the next show.
Okay.
And you and I will come up with a way to present that to the winner or the listener that actually emails the show and says that they want it.
Yeah. I mean, you can even have it to something where, you know, if everybody that does, you know, whatever it is you want done, I'll allow it to go out to as many of your listeners that will, you know, say they want it. And
okay.
You know, there again, I'll put it out there for you. So if you want to have right. Have a contest, whatever you want to do.
I'll just do it just to see how many people listen.
But, I mean, it's a great reference. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So there's a dozen different areas on here that, gives you specific legislation as to what you should be doing, that exact wording, that it gives you. So you can really use this to nail down what you should be doing for your clients and present that to them.
All right. Well, David, thank you very much. And you know what? I think that's a good stopping point, unless you've got some more rabbit holes you want to go down.
That's up to you. I'm here to answer questions.
Well, I got questions. I got FUD, baby.
Yeah, there you go. I think we pretty much covered it all between the last episode and this one. And, you know, we have the podcast we put out every week as well. And we do have a free part of the membership site. So, you know, if people want to come in and join the free part of that, they'll get access to some of the stuff. They won't get access to the downloads and resources like you like, but they do get access to the podcast and things. So just getting in there and getting the information and getting started somewhere is always a good place to be.
Absolutely. And just so those people know, again, it'll be in the show note, but HIPAA for MSPs is the site. You're right. You can start off with free, and which I did, but then I realized I want the good stuff, so I paid.
Mm-hmm.
I will now go back and take a look at all the things that I have not been getting.
So, well, you have to utilize it. You know, that's
yes.
And you know what? I'm a member of a number of membership sites for different things, and I have the same problem. You get into something, and it's an immediate need, and then all of a sudden it kind of passes, and then you kind of let it go for a while, and you know, sometimes you continue paying because you know at some point you're going to jump back in there, or sometimes you cancel and you come back or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, we're all super, super busy. The cool thing about it is I do try very hard to distill a ton of information down that I get thrown at me every week so that there's not a whole lot that you have to look at.
Right.
I don't put out blog posts every single day and, you know, stuff like that. It's just, to me, it's already overwhelming enough. I just want to look at what is it that I need to put out that's going to help members stay in the loop about what's going on, help them to understand what HIPAA is all about, not only from a legislative perspective, but also in the real world. When there's a breach, I like to break that down and look at, okay, what happened? What happened here? How can we make sure that doesn't happen to our clients? And then go from there. Because I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistakes than make my own.
Absolutely. And I do, like I said, I do like that about the site. You've got some pertinent articles, whereas a lot of the other sites are just, they're just throwing up stuff to see what sticks. The one site that I would go to all the time is, I mentioned earlier, the HIPAA Journal.
Mm-hmm.
where they basically have, I forget what the section is called, but I think it's literally lists all the breaches that have happened.
Yeah, we actually have that on our site too. And where that's pulled from is this actually pulled from the OCR breach notification portal.
Okay.
So, but if you go on our site, we actually have, we pull that in and we have it actually listed right there on the site, but you can also go to, HHS's website and get that as well. So, and you don't have to be a paying member.
The site you really should go to is HIPAA for MSPs and get your information from there.
Yeah. Well, the one of the big things too is we hear people complain about is they it's hard to find information because it's kind of thrown all over the place. Even if you go directly to OCR or HHS website, it's hard a lot of times to figure out where the information is or how it applies to you. And in some cases, you're reading things that are pre-omnibus, which means it's changed. And so you could read something and say, oh, this is what it says, but you don't realize that this was put out before 2013. So now it doesn't apply to you anymore. It's completely different. And so that's one thing that it's good about having the membership is that we take everything that you need to know. We don't put any things in there you don't need to know. And we make sure that everything's up to date and relevant for you.
And that's really good too, because part of going to those other sites is I end up reading stuff that doesn't pertain to IT. Mm-hmm. And not that I don't want to be informed about it, but a lot of times my customers aren't paying me to spend time on that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though I will spend time looking at some of the administrative safeguards, mm-hmm. because for some reason, they just can't seem to get that. Because there are a couple of techie things in there that mm-hmm. We can help with for the physical safeguards, the administrative safeguards. You know, I have to tell people, look, we got to lock the server room. Why do we got to do that? Well, because I have to protect the server.
It's a physical safeguard. You need to do that. So, yeah, you're right. Mm.
All right. Well, we are approaching the hour mark. And again, David, I want to say thank you for making yourself available and doing a podcast other than your own, which is a very good podcast, I may say. So you and Donna put on a great show over there. You've got a very good podcast. Obviously a lot more polished than this one.
No, you do an awesome job.
So folks, check that out. And hopefully you've figured out what you've missed. If you did not come to the unconvention in DC, you would have had direct access to the brain of David Sims. And I'm going to try to see if I can't get you on every now and then, a little HIPAA update here and there and see how that goes. But for things that you want to know about HIPAA, folks, HIPAAforMSPs.com. Have I promoted you enough? I really feel like it's a real show or I'm promoting somebody. And,
it's awesome. So HIPAA is HIPAA. But I did buy the misspelling of the domain. So even if you miss it, you still get it.
Not the HIPPA like most of us do.
would get you there.
So did you also get HIPAA?
I did not get HIPAA. I think I might even got HIPAA for IT. I'm not even sure. I have to check now and see.
Kind of like I got man in the van.
No, that's not me. So, I don't know how you are.
Oh, it's for sale. It's for sale. $17.95. Or
for
12 monthly payments. 12 monthly payments of $150.
Nice.
HIPAA for IT. Is that what I looked up? First of all, did I spell it right? H-I. Yep. Oh, I did an H-I-P-P-A.
See, there you go.
All right.
Okay, so here's it is. I bought HIPAA for ITprofessionals.com and redirected it. So there you go, Jeff Halash.
Take that fork out of your eye.
Of course, he said in that last podcast, they were talking about HIPAA with John Dubinsky, and he said he's not doing HIPAA. He's not worried about it. He's not doing it. He's going to stay away from those kind of clients.
That's his choice.
Yeah,
but there's money out there. There's money to be had. All right, so let's go ahead and end off the show. David, anything else you'd like to say to our listeners or to pimp, I guess?
No, I think I covered enough. I figured if you made it this far, then you're doing good. HIPAA's not easy to listen to. A lot of people kind of block it out because they can't get overwhelmed with it and they want to do stick their head in the sand. But I appreciate you giving me two podcasts back to back to talk about it. And
Well, I thank you for the time, obviously. And this is information, again, we couldn't get real specific in a lot of areas, which is what a lot of us want to do. We want the meat potatoes. We want the checklist. Tell me if I'm right or wrong, and what can I tell my customers and stuff. But, as you said, HIPAA is vague. There's a lot of discussion, and there's a lot of, as you say, guidance coming down the road, which the way I look at guidance is I look at the breach journals. And that's my guidance.
Yeah.
So if somebody loses a laptop, okay, that's what we don't want to do. And that's right. What I go to my customer.
Yep. So. There's definitely some different ways to figure that stuff out.
Right. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to PodNuts Pro. And thank you again to David Sims. And head over to podnuts.com and gander around and listen to all the other podcasts that are there. Head over to our sponsors and affiliates. And you can even head over to HIPAA4MSPs.com for more information on HIPAA and to get in contact with David Sims. And that will end our two podcast of HIPAA with David Sims. Join us next time for another great episode of PodNuts Pro. But until then, holla.
Hey friends, this is Eric Hardini, the manager. I can tell that you like podcasts and learning about technology. One of the fastest growing areas of tech is currently small, low energy consumption computing. Come join us on the Mini PC Show, where we discuss all the new small form factor devices. The Mini PC Show, big talk, little machines.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.